Blog Talk Radio.
Grieving the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness.
And Father, as you were just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, O Lord, you know each and every person, name by name, Lord Father, and what they're in need of. Heavenly Father, as we touch and agree with them, Lord Father, Father, we thanking you, Lord Father, for answering prayers, Lord Father. We thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Cecilia and Larry Burns, Lord Father, and the family, O God. Father, as they're dealing with the loss of their daughter right now, we ask you, Lord Father, Father, to give that family the strength that they need right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We speak strength, peace, and comfort right now to them in the name of Jesus. And all those right now, Lord Father, that are dealing with losses, Lord Father, comfort their heart right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Ruth Roman right now, Lord Father. Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for touching her body right now in the name of Jesus. Father, touch her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet. Oh, Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, for moving, Lord Father, on her insurance company right now, Lord Father, where she get her medication from, oh God. Father, we thanking you for working it out for her, Lord Father, that she's able to get the medication, oh God, that she needs.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, Lord Father, keep her right now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Natalie and Nathan right now, Lord Father. Father, Dwayne, Father Otis, Etra, and Elizabeth, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father, as they recover from COVID, Lord Father, we thank you for touching their immune system, Lord Father. We thank you, oh God, for just touching, Lord Father God, their lungs right now, Lord Father. Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, as you, Lord Father, make them feel better, Lord Father. Father, COVID, Lord Father, is like it's running rampant, Lord Father. People don't care. People, Father, they don't even want to follow the very instructions, Lord Father, that they're given, Lord Father. Father, that they're putting others, Lord Father, in danger, Lord Father. Father, those, Lord Father, that we're praying for that have COVID, Lord Father, we thank you, Lord Father, as you continue to touch and heal their bodies, Lord Father. And Father, that there be me no relapses, Lord Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Thomas Felton right now, Lord Father, that has stage 4 cancer, oh God. Father, touch him right now, Lord Father. Peace to him right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Touch his wife, Lord Father, that is taking care of him, Lord Father. Father, give her the strength, oh God, that she needs in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Oh, Father, we know, Lord Father, to give you all praise and all glory, Lord Father, knowing, oh God, Lord, that you are that healer, you are that provider right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we thanking you, Lord. Father, we ask you right now, Lord Father, to touch the speaker of the hour, Lord Father. Touch Elder Addison right now, Lord Father. Decrease her, oh God, as you increase in her, Lord Father. Father, let her let go and let God today that you have your way in her and through her as she bring forth the word in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast. canceling every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast to try and hinder anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast. And we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we thanking you, Lord, for just showing up and showing out. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to take control right now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you on this broadcast. Holy Spirit, have your way. We thanking you right now for healing and deliverance being on this broadcast today, Lord. Father, touch our listeners right now. Give them the ears to hear and a heart to receive the word as it come forth this day. Heavenly Father, I ask that you decrease my apostle and bishop as you increase in them as they too follow up with the word, Lord Father. Father, I ask you, Lord Father, to touch my pastors as well, Lord Father, Pastor Sharon and Pastor George, Lord. Father, touch them right now in the name of Jesus as you continue, Lord Father, to have your way in them and through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for the prayers that have went up before Almighty God. We thank God for what the Lord is doing and what he's going to do. Amen. We want to say to each and every one of you, continue to look for expectancy. Amen. For this year. Amen. And as she said in her prayer, it's so much hard-hearted and stiff-necked and rebellious, and people don't even want to follow the guidelines or wearing the mask or keeping social distance, you know, and don't even want to stay in quarantine even when they got it, see? And this is why it's running rapid from the east, west, north, and the south, man. And when they get locked down, then they're going to be upset about it, but it's their own fault. You know, and as Sister Diane was praying, the Lord led me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. We know 14 by heart, the majority of us. But in verse 13, God said this to Solomon, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. If I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence amongst my people. And see, this is what's going on because of the mindset of so many people, you know. You know, don't look at me, don't tell me what to do, and leave me alone. And that's the mindset that so many have. And when God sees that type of attitude, because he searched the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl, but through it all, you and I that is in Christ Jesus, we have a promise. Praise the Lord. Amen. And our promise is we are in the world, but we're not of it. And we thank you for the blood that keep us, amen, and wash away all our sins. Man, thank you for the blood that protect us, guide us through it all, amen. We put our trust in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of faith. Thank God that greater that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm going to give you a little thought for today. Praise God. And you'll find it's each time we take a step towards God, we discover that he has already taken two steps towards us. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read it again. I like that. Each time we take a step towards God, we discover that he has already taken two steps towards us. Oh, praise God. And coincide with that is the Lord said, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. Ain't you glad about it today? Amen. That we serve a God that is God of the living and not the dead. And he's always there. You say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm glad about it today. And I want to say to you, you and you, praise God, he always brings us out to bring us in to something better. Oh, I bless his name. Oh, who would serve a God like this? He's able today to do abundantly and above that all that we can ask or think according to the power that lies within us. Oh, we thank God today. Oh, he is our all in all. He's in us all, and he's through us all. Oh, we can do nothing without him. He said, without me, we can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us even at this hour. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. We have a dynamic speaker. Amen. Today, amen, Ella. Yvonne Addison. Praise God. Wings of Eagle Ministry. Praise God. Amen. She has so many beautiful and wonderful credentials. Amen. If I start going through all of them, amen, then all the time will be up. And she won't have time, amen, to give you what thus saith the Lord. Praise God. But I just thank God for her. Praise God. She's a woman of God. Praise God. She's a praying woman. Praise God. And this is what we need now. Amen. We need people that will pray, amen, and believe, amen, in prayer. Not playing, but praying, amen, amen. Breaking down, amen, these strongholds that the enemy think that he has. Praise God. But I thank God, amen, that she is a prayer warrior. She don't mind calling, amen, on the name of the Lord. Amen. How many know, amen, that it's power in the name of Jesus? It's deliverance in his name. Am I right? Amen. Whatever we need is in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, how you know if you don't call him? Amen. He say, anything you ask in thy name, in my name, he say he'll do it. Amen. And if he spoke it, amen, he's able to perform it. Amen. But you got to call him now. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Ain't you glad about it? He have three numbers. One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the blessed Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. God is, amen, our all in all. Praise God. All right. All right, at this time, amen, I'm going to decrease now. Amen. And don't let the woman of God, amen, come in her own way. But you can hear ye her, Ella Yvonne Addison.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I'm excited this morning. I'm encouraged this morning because of God's love for us. I'm encouraged this morning because we have the victory in every situation in our lives. Amen. If we only believe and trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. So I bless the Lord on this morning. He's truly worthy to be praised. There's none like him in all the earth. I give him all glory, honor, and praise. I just bless his holy name on this morning. I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, for a new day. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for blessing me. I celebrated my birthday on yesterday, and I bless the Lord for allowing me to see another birthday. And I bless God, hallelujah, for family, for friends, and just grateful. I have a heart of gratitude on this morning. Do you have a heart of gratitude on today? Oh, to God be the glory. I am so thankful. So I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I bless the Lord. If you have a moment right now, just where you are, let's give God some praise on this morning. Let's praise him this morning for who he is. Let's praise him this morning for being a gracious and merciful God. Let's praise him this morning. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise him this morning that he's a God that is everywhere, that he sees us, he hears us. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of hosts. He's our Redeemer. He's our Deliverer. He's our Healer. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. He is our all in all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I bless his holy name on this morning. I praise him this morning. I thank him this morning. I give him all glory, honor, and praise. He's worthy to be praised. There is none like him in all the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I just thank you this morning for lifting heavy hearts this morning. I thank you, God, for being the lifter of our head, of being a shield about us on today. God, I thank you for your daily benefits, O Lord, that you give us every day. God, I thank you for your tender mercies that are renewed every day. God, I bless your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for your love that you said that would not, that you, that cannot be separated from us. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. So I just bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Oh, I just bless him and I thank him on this morning. I give him all glory, honor, and praise. He's truly worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Somebody just need to praise him this morning. Praise him out of the for the victory that you already have, that God has already made for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Somebody just need to praise him this morning because God is working in your situation. Somebody need to praise him this morning. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I listened to a message the other day and someone said that Jesus has stepped into our situations. Jesus has stepped into your situation this morning. I want to remind you of that. Hallelujah. He has stepped into your situation. You don't have to go it alone. Hallelujah. You don't have to go it alone. God is with you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So I praise your holy name. I thank the Lord for his grace on this morning, his grace and his mercy. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. God is good. He is good. He is good. Hallelujah. Somebody might be saying right now that you don't fit. It doesn't seem, where is God? Where is he? He seems like he's far removed from you. But I want to encourage you and let you know this morning that he is there right with you. If you have accepted his son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, hallelujah. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and Jesus now sits on the right hand of the Father, God is with you. Hallelujah. He is with you. He is Emmanuel. He is with you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I thank you, Lord. I bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We bless your holy name. I just sense, Lord, in my spirit that someone just needed to hear that this morning. Someone just needed to be encouraged on this morning, hallelujah, to know that God is with you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I feel like singing, but I won't sing to you all this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Thank you so much, Jesus. We just thank you so much, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I just want to give honor to Bishop Porter this morning. Hallelujah. And to Sister Diane. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Bishop, for that wonderful introduction. I bless the Lord. And Sister Diane, for your beautiful prayer on this morning. Just continue to lift me up this morning as I just give what the Lord is saying. I just want to just, or how the Lord is going to deliver this, but, and the Holy Spirit is going to do this, but I'm just going to just be obedient and just encourage you. I just want to talk to you this morning. Hallelujah. The Lord leads me just to encourage someone. And the title of my message this morning, the Lord's given me, is You Were Made for More. You were made for more. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you this morning and let you know that God has created us. He has created us. We are his workmanship, and we are made for more. You are made for more. A lot of times we live beneath what God has for us. We live beneath what God has for us. We live in, in a mediocre life, and that's what God does not want that for us. And sometimes we think about that, and we're living for more. We think about material things. you know, God wants us to be have material things. He wants to bless us with those His Lords and the fullness thereof. And He wants us to have those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and those things will be added unto you. So first of all, is seeking the kingdom of God. Before we can, you know, we want to, and we're thinking about, you know, living a life, abundant life, we want to think about those material things. But it's not about the material things. It's about the peace, the joy, the love, and, you know, the courage and wisdom and all that God has for us, amen, to live this life abundantly. And I just, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. When we're talking about the good works, that's the evidence. It is what God has done in us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's that new life, the new creature that we are when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's the new creative work. It's that transformative work that is done within us. So that handiwork, that workmanship, that's the transformation of Christians from death to life. When we're talking about from death to life, we're talking about that living a life that is not lining up with God's word, that life that says that we are overcomers, that life that says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us, that work that says that we are that we are lively stones. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So when we are talking about the transformation of, you know, from death to life, that means from that death, you know, living a spiritual death, not living according to the commandments of God, not living out the purpose that God has for us on this earth. Every person that is on this earth has a purpose. God, we were put here for a purpose. And most of us don't realize that. Most of us are not walking out our purpose. Most of us are not, we don't understand our purpose. We don't understand what God has for us to do here on this earth, because it is, He created us. He knows all about us. So He gave us gifts and He gave us talents. He gave those to us, but we're not walking out that purpose. We're not believing in God, believing in His truth, believing that He created us for a talent, those things that God has given us just lying dormant. And so we were made for more. We were made for those gifts to be used for God's glory. And then when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have spiritual gifts. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's another topic for another day. But I just wanted to say to you, you were made for more. You were made to use the gift that God has, He has put within you when He created you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are created in Christ Jesus. Now we are created in Christ Jesus. Created in, just let that sink in, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And again, that good works, that's the evidence of God's new creative work in us, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's already prepared. It's already been prepared for God beforehand that we should walk in the new creative work that's in us, that we should walk in that what He has created us to do. He's already prepared it beforehand. He already knows. You know, he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. So He knew what the purpose, what He has for us to do. And we were made, so therefore a lot of us are not walking in that. We're not walking in what God has for us. Oftentimes, to the knowledge of who Christ Jesus is, coming into that knowledge of who He is. So we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, not outside of Christ Jesus. Most of us are trying to live a life outside of Christ Jesus. We can't do it. Those things may be temporary. You may see success in some things. There may be some success in some things that we do that a person tries to do outside of Christ, but it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And so, and it's not leading to the ultimate goal, which is eternal life. And so we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Therefore, we have his character. We have his DNA. We are called the children of God. Hallelujah. So we have his DNA. Therefore, we should be confident in who we are to walk in what God has prepared for us. If we have his character, if we have his DNA, amen, hallelujah, then that's the confidence that we should have to walk in what God has prepared for us. But that walk becomes a little shaky or unstable when we forget who we are and that we are made for more than what we confess. Let me say that again. But that walk sometimes becomes a little shaky or unstable when we forget who we are and that we are made for more than what we confess. So forgetting who we are because of life situations, forgetting of who we are because of distractions of the world. People become distracted because of things that's going on, the things that go on in this world, distracted, and there are a lot of distractions now. There are a lot of situations that are occurring that's causing us to look away, and we're forgetting who we are. If we're not careful, we can become bitter, angry people. But we have to remember who we are in Christ, who we belong to, and that we are made for more than what we confess. What are you confessing this morning? I want you to just take a second and just think about that. What are you confessing? What words are you releasing from your heart? In our heart, we're going to speak it. So what are you confessing? Words can snare us. Those our words we speak can snare us if our words lack faith, if our words don't align up with what God says about us. Those words. You know, I remember a lot of time, I think it's just something that people just used to say. I know when I was working before I retired, people always say, oh, I'm so brain dead. Hey, that's a word. Those words are being released into the atmosphere. No, when they say things like that, that's putting action to those words. So your words can snare us. We have to be careful about what we are confessing, what we're saying. Are your words lining up with faith? Are your words lining up with the promises of God? Is your confession truth? What are you speaking? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Remember, your words give action to what you're speaking, to what you're saying. And sometimes we're just not conscious of it. You know, we just say things. Our words need to be yea and nay. Our words need to line up with the truth of God. Our words we need to speak faith. We need to speak what God says about us. What are you believing in your heart? What's in your heart? Some of us may need to do a heart check and just to see what's in our heart when we begin to speak and say things about our lives, about our family members. You know, what are you speaking over your family members? You know, what are you speaking? I know that when the Lord showed me, when he shows me something about my family members, especially my children specifically, but then the Holy Spirit checked me on that one day. He said, yeah, you're speaking that over them, but your actions are not showing it. So we have to put some action behind it as well. You can say, you know, you can speak over someone what you think they, you know, be praying and what you think about your loved one. It, you know, for example, you know, I believe, you know, I call that person to be a man of God, a woman of God, or to walk in wisdom, or to, you know, whatever it is that you might speak over them. But then you don't treat them that way. You don't treat them as a man and woman of God. You don't treat them as a person who has wisdom. You know, so we have to put some action with our faith. Faith without works is dead. So we have to put the faith with the action with that family member, any relationships that we're in. What are we speaking over people? What are we releasing over people? So we have to be mindful of that. Sometimes we have to go back and just look at and repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness and then renounce those words that's been spoken over someone. You know, those words that that it's not speaking life. And so those, just watching what we speak and what we say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So there are some people who just don't believe the truth about who they are. Prayer lines, people, we can pray for people. We can speak life over them. We can encourage them. We can say things about them, you know, to help them to move toward, you know, living that life more abundantly in Jesus Christ. But if they don't believe it, if they don't believe it, then we have to pray a different prayer that they will come and to know and to believe who they are. We have to pray for those, pray for them. But sometimes what happens is, unfortunately, some people don't believe the truth about who they are. It is they believe the lies about who they are. They have been influenced by past hurt, by disappointment, discouragement, or failure. Who will begin to believe who they are because they have been influenced by things that have happened in their past. They're being influenced by their failures, and their discouragements. And so this is their behavior. This is what they believe about themselves, and that's so embedded in their souls that they cannot, you know, walk in a different path. They have difficulty walking in a different way. But the lies that they believe are the result of someone or something that influences them to think in such a way that they are living way below their capabilities. When you think about that, calling them, dumb and calling them stupid and saying, you know, you're just like your sorry daddy or, you know, those things. I mean, these are words that parents release over their children. And even think about that. Oh, my goodness. This is something that's released over their children. And what's going to happen with those children? They begin to believe that. They begin to believe that they're stupid, that they're dumb, that they can't learn, that they'll never be anything, that they're like their sorry mother, sorry daddy, or, you know, those things that they say over them. And they begin to, they're influenced by that. If that's all they hear, then their behavior is going to be in alignment with what they have heard. And so they're not going to try to do anything. They're not going to try to be better. They're not going to try to come out of that place because this is what they hear. And this is what they begin to believe. And so that's why it's important that when we are using our words, when we are speaking, when we are, you know, encouraging that, you know, young people, it's so important to do. When we have the opportunity to come across a young person and to speak into their lives, we should do that. We should take that opportunity because we may be the only person, if they hear something positive, hear a word of encouragement. So I, you know, encourage us to be mindful of that, to speak that over to our young people especially. But people do begin to believe the lies that they have the capacity or the capability to be more than where they are now, you know, to be others in a positive way and be that person who can bring people to Christ, so just thinking about that, oh, my goodness, how many people just believe what they have experienced in their past life and they're influenced by that or by people to think in a way that they are living way below their capabilities. And so I can give you a personal experience about this. And so I'm going to be transparent about, I had a math teacher that just was not, did not have any compassion or sympathy for it. He was just I think he was just a bitter person, and he took it out on his students. But anyway, at that time, math just did not come easy for me at that time. And when I was trying to work out a problem, at that time, I'm dating myself, we had the blackboards, and the chalk. So anyway, I was working out a problem, but I just could not get it. And he said something that was just very hurtful. And from that point on, I believed that I would never be good at anything that related to mathematics. And I shied away from anything that had to do with numbers, anything like that. So that was his influence. That's the words that he spoke caused me to shut down in that respect, until I went to college and I had to take statistics. If I wanted to graduate, I had to take statistics, and I was so fearful of that class. But I'm telling you, I had a professor who was in numbers and all of that. So it is important when we're influenced by people. People can say things and influence how we see ourselves and how we live. I was living below my capability because I avoided situations that I didn't want to, where I didn't want to use math. In another situation where someone, I was talking to someone, this was years, so many years ago, but I was talking to someone, and that person told me that I needed to be quiet because nobody had anything. And this was just a regular general conversation between me and this person, that I needed to be quiet because nobody was interested in what I was had to. God knows, I at that time was not interested. I had a relationship with the Lord. I was had no idea that I would be in ministry or anything like that. But when God called me into ministry, I struggled with speaking before people. I struggled with being in front of people. I struggled with talking to people from that point on. But God, hallelujah, to God be the glory. He brought me out of that. Amen. He delivered me and set me free in the name of Jesus. So that's why it's important. I shared that with you. Just know that our words have power. Our words are weighty, and what we say, it needs to line up. Our words need to line up with the Word of God. Amen. And when we're encouraging someone, that's what it is, to encourage others. Amen. To encourage others. So to God be the glory. So we in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, 23 to 24. Thank you, Lord. I'm starting at 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. Amen. We come to God as sinners, but he wants to transform our habits, our attitudes, our practices, our behaviors, into the ways of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? He wants to transform us. We come to as sinners, but he wants to transform our habits. Praise God. How many of you need some habits that need to be changed? Amen. Sometimes we can do things over and over again and it just becomes ingrained in us and we're doing it. It's a habit. Amen. But it can be broken in Jesus' name. Our attitudes. How about our attitudes? How are we presenting Jesus to others. Amen. By our lifestyles, our attitudes, and how we think. You know, are we or are we not showing respect? Man, we need respect. We do need respect in this time, in this season, because there is the lack of respect for people is just unreal. So our attitudes, you know, about life, our attitudes toward people, our attitude toward our family members. How many we have attitudes toward our family members because they are unlovable? You know, we're just going to have family members who are just unlovable. We don't like their behaviors. We don't like the way they are. We don't, and we know that. But we have to, you know, what is our attitude toward? Is it an attitude of love, an attitude of, you know, wanting to see them be in a better place? You know, do we have an attitude of patience and long-suffering, you know, toward those who are unlovable? Amen. And practices into the ways of Jesus to live, forgive, and love as he did, to live to and love as he did. Oh, my goodness. To live as he did in freedom, hallelujah, with compassion and sympathy and empathy, amen, with true love, to love as he did and to forgive. There, how many of us still have unforgiveness in our hearts? How many of us still, we say we want to forgive, or maybe we don't. Maybe you haven't even thought about, you know, that you still have unforgiveness in your heart. But sometimes that unforgiveness can cause sickness, physical sickness in our bodies if we're still carrying around that unforgiveness. Are you finding it difficult today to really forgive someone? To forgive that person who hurt you a long time ago, that family member who disrespected you, who brought shame and guilt in your life because of some, or even, you know, that friend, a coworker, you know, supervisor, whoever it may be, even your pastor or church family. You know, church hurt is real. So if you still have unforgiveness in your heart, you know, ask the Lord to help you to forgive. Ask the Lord to help. How do you know when, and you might ask me, well, how do you know when you have forgiven someone? It's because you don't justify the behavior. You don't justify what that person did. You know, you're not overlooking that because if somebody did harm to you and it was truly harmful and, you know, it was trauma created in your life, that you don't justify, we don't justify what that person did, but we forgive, we don't forgive the behavior. We just, we forgive the person. We forgive, we don't forgive what they actually did. We don't forgive the Holy Spirit to really help us to walk in forgiveness, just as Jesus did when he said, I pray to forgive them, but they know not what they do. Hallelujah. So, forgiving and loving as Jesus did. Then there are the mindsets that get in the way of believing who we are and the capacity we have to accomplish the things that God has for us. How many times have you heard, smart enough, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. I really don't like people, so I can't make friends. There's a list of them. And our identity is not in our deficiencies. It's not in our choices that we made, those stupid choices that we think about that we made. So why did I do, how did I do that? Why did I do that? You know, we've made along the way. Maybe that divorce that happened or being fired from your job, you know, nor is it our possession or accomplishment. Our perceived capacity is limited by our thoughts. And this, you know, God wants, we change, we transform by the renewing of our minds, right? So we are transformed, renewed, by the renewing of our mind, yet we are transformed. We're changed. We're changed into, you know, from death to life. We're changed. Our habits change. Our behaviors change. But why do people, there are reasons why people resist change. And some of, and that's one I just mentioned, people think that they'll always be that way. That's the way they are, and they'll always be there. They say, well, my family was that way. You know, we're the XYZ family, and we've always been this way, and this is how we do things. You know, we are prideful people, or we are we're people who don't have integrity. This is just the way we are. You know, this is who we are. This is the way it's been done all these years, and this is the way it is. Okay, they don't believe that change can really happen, so they resist the change. Or not being patient. Not being patient. Results not coming quickly enough. You know, we want to take matters into our own hands. When God is saying wait, be of good courage and wait. When God is saying wait, that means that he's waiting on him, waiting on instructions from the Holy Spirit, waiting on the Lord to work in the situation. And so when the results bear way and it is not what God has for them, and then the whatever it is that God is wanting to do in their lives, it doesn't happen. They are resisting the change because, okay, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. I'm going to stay right where I am. And so if God hasn't answered now, or if, you know, either taking situations into their own hands, or just saying, okay, it's not, God is not moving, you know, so it's not happening now, well, then, you know, I just stay where I am. I'll just stay in this place of complacency. I'll just stay in this place of discouragement. I'll just stay in this place where I am, you know, instead of waiting on the change that comes from Jesus Christ. So results don't come quickly enough. And so the person resists the change, you know, and just stay where they are. People resist change because of fear of holding them back. Fear can really paralyze people from moving into their destination and moving into their purpose. Fear is can come in so many ways. You know, people have fear of success, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of death, you know, fear of relationships, just fear of love, loving again. You know, people who've been hurt in, those who have been hurt in relationships, and they fear love. They fear being hurt again, so they fear loving again. They fear receiving love. They fear giving love. So fear holds them back. I know that people have fear of other fears, like fear of flying. Just think about a person who has, God has called them to ministry. And he opens the door for them to be in different places, you know, to minister, and they have fear of flying. That fear will hold them back. That will keep them from going forward. It was just like that fear that I shared with you earlier about the math and really, you know, being fear, that was fear of making mistakes. Fear of making, thank you, Holy Spirit, that was a fear of making mistakes. So that held me back in a lot of different ways. I turned down, I know that there were some opportunities for promotion, and I turned those down because of fear of making mistakes. So we have given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. So if we are walking in that, we are looking at that we have power that's within us. We have, you know, a sound mind that comes with having the mind of Christ. Amen. That we're not wavering back and forth between things. You know, fear it will cause us to do that, to waver back and forth, to go back and forth, not to be stable. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love. You know, walking in that love, understanding, hallelujah, the love that God has for us, that he's given to us, that he demonstrated to us by giving his only son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then Jesus' love demonstrated by his shed blood for us. Oh, my goodness. So I bless God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear be that obstacle to change. And then sacrifice. The cost of change is too much of a sacrifice. We have to realize sometimes when there's a change that needs to take place in our lives, that sometimes it is a sacrifice. It may be in a relationship that you're a toxic relationship that you're in, and you want to let go of that relationship. You know that it's not good for you, but you feel like it is something that is just too difficult. You don't want to give up, but you know that you have to. You know, in order for you to live a life of peace, a life of joy, that you are going to need to separate yourself from that situation, from that relationship. The cost of change as well. Or maybe God has, I've heard of testimonies where people were in jobs, you know, they were in very successful jobs where they were making very good salaries, but God called them away from those jobs into ministry, and they had to make a sacrifice. They had to give up, some things. They may have to to move to a new city or, you know, whatever it is. But the cost of change, you know, it's sometimes when people think about that, they resist the change. I mean, I don't want to give that up. You know, I don't want to give up that good salary, or, you know, I don't want to move to a new city. I know a family who years ago who moved from one city to another, not knowing anybody at all, but he just picked up his that he didn't know anything about, but God was calling him to that place to start a church, and that's what he did. And I just, you know, I bless the Lord. And even with Apostle Gloria, you know, even as she has shared with her journey and how God has called her to different places, you know, that it was, she was not resistant to change, but she moved out on what God had called her to do. And then the next thing is that why people resist change is because they don't see a need for change. They don't see a need for change. They're in denial that it won't change, that there doesn't need to be a change. They're in denial. And you've come across people who they know they are on a path of destruction, right? And we try to share with them that this is not the path that God has for them, that they would have a better life in Jesus Christ. They're just changing what they're doing, but they're in denial. They don't need to see a change. They don't think that what they're doing is ultimately leading them to a place of destruction instead of eternal life. In depth, abundant life. And so not seeing a need, you know, change due to just not believing that there needs to be a change. Hallelujah. Thank you. We are. This is what makes us authentic. This is what makes us the real deal. So when we're thinking about, you know, change and being transformed and, you know, going from death to life, but this is what makes us really authentic. This is what makes us, the people see us, they see the Christ in us. So authentic means being genuine and original. Hallelujah. We are created. We are original beings. We are, God created us. And he created us, each one of us, in a perfect, unique way. Hallelujah. So somebody who's listening this morning, I pray that you will see yourself as that person that God created in a unique way. So what does it mean to be genuine and original? And we're still talking about you were made for more, right? And so being authentic, you know, when we're made for more, we need to be authentic in what we do, authentic in our in this walk, in our faith walk. So what does it mean to be authentic? Being able to reveal your true thoughts and feelings without feeling rejected. Okay, fear that someone will cut you down, fear of not being liked or accepted. And there we go, the fear back. And when you're a genuine and you feel, you know, you're originally, you know who you are in Christ, you will be able to reveal your thoughts and feelings that, you know, what other people think. You won't worry about what other sick people think. You know, you won't, you can do that without feeling rejected or that someone is going to, you know, cut you down. Going back to what I said, the example I give about parents, you know, speaking over their children and saying negative things over them. So that can have an impact. That fear, that will keep a person from really revealing, you know, their thoughts and their feelings without feeling rejected, that somebody's going to cut them down, that they're not going to be accepted or liked. We have the mind of Christ. We can ask for wisdom, and God will give us that wisdom. So we don't have to fear of being rejected because of what our thoughts are, what our feelings are. And being authentic means also revealing our true self, allowing our gifts to show. As I said earlier, you know, we have gifts. We have talents, and God wants to use them for his glory. A lot of times we don't allow our gifts to use our gifts because we don't know what they are, or we are ashamed of them, or we don't believe that God will use us in that way. Knowing who we are and not assuming somebody else's identity. We can get lost in someone else's identity. You know, if we don't know who we are, we begin to assume someone else's identity, because maybe it's a person who is who's following someone on media, and they begin to assume that person's identity. You know, they begin to think like that person or want to act like that person. You know, we have to know who we are. We have an identity. We have an identity in Christ. That's who we are. We're peculiar people. We are lively stones. Hallelujah. So we have our identity in Christ and not in someone else. Okay. Especially when, and I'm just going to use this example, when there are women and men too these days who are in abusive relationships, that they lose their identity of who they are, because it's all about trying to keep peace in that relationship. It's all about trying to make sure that what they do say, you know, please that person, or that they're not doing anything to trigger or to upset that person. So they begin to lose their identity of who they are in that relationship. So we have to realize who we are and then change our perspective of who we are. I don't know if many of you remember the movie Imitation of Life movie. It's called The Imitation of Life, actually. It's about this housekeeper who worked for this white family, and the daughter of the housekeeper is fair-skinned, and she has an identity crisis of who she wants to be. So she eventually disowns her family, her mother, and her mother was heartbroken because of this. So she was looking at this daughter was looking at the external things that her looks can afford her, but not the internal things that her mother can offer her, like the love and the courage and the patience and nurturing. But she allowed the things of the world, she allowed the what other things that she was looking for, you know, with her mother and her family, you know, couldn't get into different places, but she could because of the color of her skin. That's what she was looking for. That's what she wanted to have. Those external things, but she overlooked what her mother had for her, the love, the courage that her mother wanted to impart in her, the patience, the nurturing that her mother had. But eventually her mother passed away, and she never got a chance to really reconcile that relationship. So those external things limited her capacity to fulfill God's purpose in her life. So what external things are limiting your capacity to fulfill God's purpose in your life? And we put, some of us put labels on ourselves or allow others to label who we are. Okay, we do that. We God has already told us who we are, so we can't allow other people to label us. You know, but to we know who we are in Christ. In Psalm 139:14, I'm going to close out in a few minutes. And you are very familiar with this. But it says, I praise you because I fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Amen. Hallelujah. We are, hallelujah. Your works are wonderful, Lord. I know that full well. So somebody needs to hear that today and know that full well, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are unique, that you have an identity in Christ, that you do not have to identify with anyone else, amen, but you identify with who Christ says you are, who Jesus says you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So God sees our imperfections. He sees our errors that they fix, but he also sees our value as God the Father, amen. We can see the value in others, value in other people, as you know, in others. See, I've always liked this one. I heard someone say, see that person in their delivered state. See them as God sees us. He sees that we're not perfect. We are not perfect. So we have imperfections. We're going to mess up sometimes. We have our defects. But God sees a value in us. Hallelujah. It's his child. So we can see the values in others. When God sees the value in us, we see the value in others. See the value in us. See what they bring to the table. See the value in them as a human being. Ever we hit roadblocks in life, Jesus is interceding. He's there with us. He's giving us strategies and plans. If we listen, the Holy Spirit will give strategies or Holy Spirit will give plans when we hit roadblocks in our lives. So whenever they are, just sit before the Lord. Get before the Lord. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit will give instructions. The Holy Spirit will give direction. The thing is, are we going to be obedient when the Holy Spirit speaks? So my prayer is that we will have the courage to be obedient to what God asks of us to do. You know, whatever it may be in, dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. We have the word of Christ in us. Let it dwell in us. Let that word dwell in us in all wisdom, that we'll be able to live a life that God has for us. And not only that, to serve with a servant's heart, teaching and admonishing one another. Begin believing what God says about us. Believing what God says about you. Walk in the truth. Walk in the truth of who you are. Own your truth. Own your truth today. You are made for more. And Lord, I just thank you for the word on today. I pray, God, that every person that's heard this message, oh Lord, will, God, that we'll begin to walk in our truth, Lord, that we'll know who we are in Christ, oh Lord. We will not allow our decisions and influences and things from our past, oh God, to influence us into being someone that you have not called us to be, Lord. So God, I just break the chains right now from the past, oh Lord. I pray, God, that every chain is broken. I pray, God, that we'll begin to walk in the freedom and liberty that you've created for us on the cross, oh Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, and that you, God, raised you from the dead, Lord, and that you said, sit on the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, Lord. God, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, that we will know who we are, God. We are made for more, God. And I pray that we'll walk and that we will realize, Lord, that we can have life and have it more abundantly, O Lord. I pray against every form of fear right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, God, that we'll that fear will be dislodged from us, O Lord. I pray, Father, that you did not, thank you, Lord, that you did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, God. And I pray, Lord, God, that we'll operate, Lord Jesus, out of love. God, that we'll have the mind of Christ, O Lord, God. We'll allow the Holy Spirit that's within us to do the work in Jesus' name. God, I thank you and I praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again. We thank the Lord for that wonderful message coming from Elder Addison today, and we want to say again, happy birthday, amen, blessed birthday, and all of that, and I trust you ate lots of cake and ice cream. Praise the Lord. Amen. Bunch of roses and everything else. We thank God for that message today, amen, because it should be an eye-opener for everyone. And if you have any questions, you can ask. You have some time to ask the question, okay? Come, you listen, we don't want you to sit there with that question that you need to ask. Okay. Well, now I'll start off with that question. How do you deal with the person if you don't know why they don't like you or something? You know when people don't like you. That, let's just be honest with that. But how, when you don't know, you would like to know what happened, what did you do to them or whatever. How do you deal with something like that?
So we can, communication is always very important. Actually asking the person.
Yeah, but you know, when you ask them, they won't tell you. They go through a whole lot of rigmarole, but they don't say nothing. How do you do that?
Well,
I mean, I have an experienced that because I was concerned. I said, and I had experience like that, and I said to the person, I said, listen, I don't want to be going around, you know, with all this whatever is between us. I say anybody can see something is going on. I said, but I want to know, what did I do? And they just give me a little story about, oh, the past is the past. But if the past is the past, why are you holding stuff? Why, whatever it is you holding, let's bring it up to the future to get rid of it so it don't disturb us, our future. You know, that's my motto. But and that really bothered me, you know, about how some people have these things, but they don't. They won't talk about it, or is it that they don't know themselves?
So I understand what you're saying, but it seems like that person maybe is ready to move on. So I guess my question for you is, it sounds like, too, that it is causing some conflict in your relationship.
It is
right?
It was a bit of complication in the relationship, you know, and all. Everybody asked the same question, you know, and I say, I don't know. I tried to find out, but they didn't want to answer, you know, like that. So I say, I'm not going to let it stop me from going on, but, you know, I just don't like no kind of conflict going on if I can solve it, if we can get it, you know, solved, all right? It doesn't have to be. I don't know how they feel because I didn't ask anymore. I left it alone. You know, I didn't ask anymore, but, you know, I still would like to know, because I don't want to be doing stuff and hurting somebody or making somebody upset or nothing. But people get mad about nothing anyway these days. But I don't like to have that. I don't care who they are. They could be friend, foe, family. It doesn't matter. I like to get everything, keep everything open. You know, an open relationship where we won't have to end up hating nobody and disliking and miss heaven and we bombard hell. I don't want to do that. You know, I'm trying to avoid it. Right. I've been trying to avoid it all I can. Even now, I would try to avoid it, you know, that thing, you know. Because Bishop has to be honest and just say, you know, I don't like you because of this, that, or the other. Now, once in school, a person, a girl in school right there in Kissimmee, I don't even know who she was, but she just came up to me and told me, I don't like you. And so I say, okay. I say, but why? What did I do? She say, nothing. I said, then why you don't like me? She said, I don't like the way you walk. You know, and I thought that was stupid. I thought that was stupid for her to say, but at least she got it out. Okay, she did get it out. Praise God. It was real dumb, but I don't even know who she was. But, you know, people going around don't like it because of this, that, or the other. But I'm finding out a lot of things here lately about people. I'm finding out more things about people every day. The most stuff happening in the world, I'm finding out about people, where a lot of things are coming from. You know, you don't have to have no reason to dislike a person. You just dislike them like that. And I say, but I don't get it. So I say, Lord, I need to get some understanding on that. Lord, let me know what this is. Why? How a person can just don't like you and you ain't did nothing to them or they ain't did nothing? How you going to dislike somebody because they ain't did nothing to you? What is it that you don't dislike? Okay, now I don't mind telling my stuff. I did have a person I didn't dislike. I dislike. I tell the whole world. I'm gonna write it all down too. I did, and I asked God. I went to God. I prayed and prayed for days and months. I asked God, why is it that I don't like this person and I don't even know them? That was, to me, it was odd. I ain't been saved long. But I asked God. I said, why? I said, because I can like everybody. I can get along with everybody. I don't care if you don't like how you feel or whatever. But this particular person, I just didn't like her. And it took me some years to find out because she was a root worker. She do bad things to people. And she was in church, had a cloak. She had a cloak on. What I'm saying is she had it like she was all Jesus and saved and everything. And I was in church, and I didn't like it. I wanted to know why, you know. And it took me a while to learn what it was. See, all right. Amen. Nobody else ain't answer no questions, so I asked the question to everybody, and
So I just wanted to so just looking at a couple of things that that's different. So let's go back to the person that you didn't like that you didn't know, and you found out that, you know, about them and what they were doing, the root workers. So that's discernment. So that's a spiritual thing, you know, when we're talking about that. So that's having discernment and what it is that you didn't, that it was something that was about that person that was not right. And we do, you know, the Holy Spirit will give us, we have discernment. And so that is, and so so that's one thing. And then we went back and talked about the girl who didn't like you because of the way you walk. At that time, I don't know what age you know, that was at that time. But you have to look at the developmental development of a person as well, the thinking age. She didn't like the way you walked. It wasn't necessarily that she didn't like you. She just didn't know how to articulate that, I'm thinking, at that age. So that's, you know, so sometimes we can not like the behavior of someone. It's not necessarily that we're not liking, or it's the way they do things, or, you know, how they say things, or something that we just don't like about the way they do things. And most of the times it's a reflection on us. And when I say that, what I mean by that is that sometimes because we don't like the way a person does something, it's because we actually want to do that, be able to do that ourselves. And not all the time, but that's just sometimes. But we're looking at people and say, oh, gosh, I just don't, I think that she's so overbearing, or I think, you know, I don't like her because she is, she likes to take control of everything, or I don't like her, you know what I'm saying. And so, but we can, but when we look at that, it's maybe something within us sometimes to say, oh, gosh, I really would like to be able to be more in control, or I would like to be able to, you know, be whatever that person is operating that you really dislike, but you like it, if that makes sense. I know it's an oxymoron, but it just,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Okay. You know what? You
and then,
answered the first. You just answered the first question. I just got to answer when you were saying all of that. I got to answer to the first one about the first person I was talking about. You know, I just got an answer just then.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. We thank the Lord for this word. We thank God for the answers to the question also. We thank God. We hope that everyone was helped in some way or another. Call us and let us know. You know, you need to text somebody and tell them about this broadcast on these Wednesdays, you know. You can get some good information, okay, and some to help you. All right, we got to go now. And until tomorrow, we bid you farewell for now. Love you. Amen.